We do have a group academic affairs committee agenda, the briefest I've ever seen since I've been on the board. We have several faculty positions that we want to consider today, and I'm going to ask Dr. Burks to make some comments. Very good.
You're welcome.
Sorry. I'll be sure you get your say.
Well, and I've been walking down here this morning, I thought I was getting really old because the average age of students seems to be about 13. Because we call him Bambi. The youth, that's 7 to 10 graders, the swarm of them all over campus. Our Hallmark program, the right part of that. Dr. Ranzo already mentioned the summer school enrollment. Summer school is run by a division of Chandler University. I want to thank Bass and her staff for all they've done to promote summer term, winter term, but also online learning, and some of this is all new, so it really does bear receiving. We made the top 25 list of best online colleges in the country. And number two in the online baccalaureate program. So that's congratulations to the folks that have been speaking.
Well done.
As Bill mentioned, SAC's COC and the reaffirmation process. That is ongoing. As you recall, we had one item, an assessment item to address. We had a department head workday about a week and a half ago. To develop that, we'll be developing a kind of multi-year quality assessment group plan and submit our report to SAC COC by September 9th. We'll then go together with the on-site committee, very favorable report to the SAC's executive committee, and we expect the reaffirmation decision in December. The board may recall that in October of 2014, we approved the Doctor of Psychology program to be added to the inventory. And then subsequently in January 2015, we approved the Master of Fine Arts program in creative writing. Both of these being terminal degrees, numbers 4 and 5 respectively, for the institution. I'm pleased to report that as of 2 days ago, these are now both been approved by SAC COC. It takes a while. And as a result of that, WKU has moved from level 5 in the second classification to level 6. That is the absolutely highest classification there is. 7 or 8 years ago, WKU was level 4. We spent a brief period at level 5, and now we are at level 6, which is right up there with all the R1s, and the institution, and so on. Congratulations to those two programs and to all the colleges with these programs.
Pause on that thought for a moment. I just want that thought to get lost. According to our accrediting agency, this university is now at the highest level with doctoral research institutions in our classifications. If you remember, when we began to move down the path of terminal degrees and doctoral programs, this was one of the goals, was to get this institution classified in a peer group of the very best institutions in American higher education. And with now our fifth terminal degree, 4 doctoral programs and a Master of Fine Arts, which is a terminal degree, we have now reached that pretty critical milestone. And I can remember Don Zacharias, Mary Ellen, you'll remember this, back around 1979 and 80. He was only our president for 3 or 4 years, as I recall, but his mantra was, this university must move into the realm of terminal degrees. And it took a lot to get to that point. But with what we got, the notification we received 2 days ago, that has been achieved. And the Carnegie classification, which is beyond our control, but that too will come about because we've now reached that level of the doctoral research institutions. significant milestones in the life of this university, and when we spend so much time focused on academic quality, that's as strong a measure of where we're heading as an institution as just about anything that we can focus on. I just didn't want that comment from our provost that's cool, and go on to the next item. That is a big deal for this institution that's been decades in the making. So I just want to make sure everybody understood this.
And certainly that's not perception, that is fact.
That is fact. Maybe much to the chagrin of some institutions in that category, but from our standpoint, it's a measure of further achievement of our vision for this institution. So congratulations, Mr. Provost, and to all of our faculty who have worked so hard to create these doctoral degrees, permanent degrees, and sustain what we're doing at the undergraduate level at the same time. It's a significant milestone for us.
Just comment an observation. I think one of the challenges that GDEC presents for us, I know we're looking at all the ways we can enhance our graduate program, and excuse me, Mr. Ridley, but one of the things in the budget that I couldn't help but observe is that we really haven't had any significant change in graduate citizenship. And one of the things I'm sure we're going to acknowledge as well is that if you're going to build graduate programs and doctoral programs as well, you've really got to have more ways to support graduate assistants. I'm not suggesting that it's not a project, but it really is a challenge.
Well, I don't know. For the last 5 years, although you will not see this in the budget book, you see it as we do as part of a carry forward, but again, you go back to New York. We generate a very significant carry forward every year. We invest that, and we've invested over $1 million a year for the past 5 years in the graduate school to do that very thing, to make our graduate assistant attributes both the stipend support, the tuition waivers, the health insurance as competitive as we can. Dean Fox this year, they
some 5
graduate research fellowships that are either like $25,000, $30,000 packages that we can go out and recruit the absolute best students with, students that we expect will be continuable on external grant support, for example, because they've got outstanding resumes. So we have, although it was not a budgeted line, we steadily devoting what I call a recurring one-time dollar into the grant student support.
Today we have 6 faculty who are presenting for consideration for emeritus or emeritus status. And this really is a veritable who's who of our faculty. Starting with Dr. Susan Jones, who served the School of Nursing for 45 years, started in 1970. And including being the program coordinator of our online RN to BSN program for over 10 of those years. Part of our international reach, developing courses in locations such as Chile, England, and somewhere called Scotland. She was very active in grant support, a member of WKU's Million Dollar Club for grant support, a level she achieved in 2003. And we're also very active in community service, serving in the Kentucky Board of Nursing and as president of the Kentucky Board of Nursing in 2003-2004. Dr. Johns, in 2010, was inducted as a fellow in the National League of Nursing Academy of Nurse Educators. And very proud to stand for emeritus status. From the Department of Economics, Dr. William Davis, during his 37 years of service in the Economics Department at WKU, built an immense reputation as a public policy practitioner through his research on issues regarding economic development, impact, and outlook in industry and higher education at the local, state, and national levels. And Dr. Davis' experience has been sought extensively by local, state, and national agencies to use in their policy decisions. Dr. Davis also served as chair of the Department of Economics in 2003-2009. From the Department of Physics and Astronomy, two individuals, Dr. Roger Scott, the director of the Harden Planetarium, and Film Strategies, he came from up the hill, has established that as an integral part of our community. That shows at that planetarium, weekly shows and so on, have literally touched tens of thousands of lives, all the way from K-12 students, all the way to senior citizens. Dr. Scott pioneered a long-lasting astronomy and space science workshop for local teachers, which has become legendary to this day in the local K-12 community. He also represented WKU on the board of directors of the Kentucky Space Grant Consortium for many years. Dr. Philip Womble, Professor Emeritus of Physics and Astronomy, was instrumental in initiating a Homeland Security Sciences Master's Degree Program and served as Director of the Applied Physics Institute and the Cyber Defense Laboratory located at the Center for Research and Development. Over his years of service to the university, Dr. Womble brought national and international recognition in many areas. He was a recipient of both the Ogden College and the University Faculty Award for Research and Creativity in 2008. From the Potter College Master of Letters, Department of Communication, Dr. Larry Cadillette, who served as one of the long line of distinguished directors of WKU's forensics program, hosting, in fact, the National Forensics Association tournament here at WKU in 1981. Dr. Cadillette also served as director of the Office of International Programs, coordinated the Visiting Scholars Program, and as faculty advisor to the Chinese Students and Scholars Association. His variety of experiences abroad, including trips to Kenya, Hong Kong, Japan, and South Korea, and holds an honorary doctorate from Tbilisi State University in Georgia. Last but not least, Dr. Carl Carroll, Professor of Communication, over his 43-year career at WKU, Dr. Carroll published no less than 7 books, 5 involving university presses. He served as Director of Graduate Studies and Interim Department Head of the Department. He won the 2003 Award for Public Service and the 2007 Spirit of Western Award. In addition to that, Dr. Kell's signature accomplishment surely was the founding of the group of Spirit Masters, the official student ambassador organization of WKU, which over its 35 years of service have provided in excess of over 50,000 hours of service to WKU. Privileged and proud to present these 6 individuals for America's Steps.
Thank you.
I would like to know the greetings.
I have a motion and a second to approve the airtight positions for the individuals as described in the discussion. Not all those in favor say aye. Any more enthusiasm?
Just your academic affairs committee voting on this. Just the academic affairs committee.
Yeah. All those opposed? Motion passes.
Items on the executive committee agenda. First, the amendment to the transitional retirement program policy.
What are your thoughts on that regard? The edits are in your packet of information.
For some time now, in fact, since 1989, actually, I've had the opportunity to participate in a transitional retirement program whereupon announcing their retirement, they can enter a program which is approximately 2 courses per semester, earning 3/8 of their most recent 9-month salary. As approved by the board in 1989, the program stated that faculty in the KTRS retirement system were eligible. Since that time, WKU added an alternative retirement program, an ORP, affording faculty the opportunity to participate in different retirement programs, such as TIA prep and so forth.
And now 10 years in, some of these folks are considering retirement, and there's some clarification as well. They are also eligible to enter the retirement program. What we're voting today is amendment to that approval back in 1989 that would indeed allow those faculty to participate in the program and get the credits for those KPRs.
Yeah. Chair, I move for approval of the recommendation to the faculty in the transitional retirement program policy.
Second.
Second.
Second. Second.
One question or comments, Chair. I think it's a really positive move to enable legitimately using the union council in that retirement. Just one question, and it's not a big one, but I was just curious, the change that takes out after the special two-year faculty category period, the faculty only to be fully retired. I'm not sure why it was in there, but what does that mean?
Well, that's a good question. We didn't know what it meant because the faculty in traditional retirement are not tenured.
They're no longer tenured anyway.
But that has caused confusion in the sense that are they eligible to put on the tenured faculty in trouble. So this clarified that they are faculty in traditional status.
Vote, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passed unanimously. And I'll direct your attention to action item 2, the approval of the athletic performance contract that John allows.
Actually, let's do 2 and 3 together. They're both athletic, baseball and track and field, and athletic director Scott Stewart is here. Any thoughts on these 2 contracts? One's a new coach and one's a contract renewal.
Well, I think they're both outstanding at what they do. Certainly John is a new coach, and for us to have somebody with 14 years experience as a college baseball head coach, he's been part of 11 NCAA tournaments, including 4 as a head coach, is huge for our program, and certainly Eric's done a terrific job here. He's an alum. His contract expired. It expires June 30th, so he was up for a renewal.
Just one curiosity. Todd, I'm just curious. This is no big deal. On page 9, item 2, is there some reason that the number is $9,999? That's a tidbit question, but I was just curious. Is there something that...
we're at page 9.
That's over $10,000. I am section 2 on page 9.
On the last description. Shearer equipment contract up to $9,999.
I don't know. That's standard.
Yeah, we've always used that figure, so it would have started with...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you there.
That figure was suggested when we started using this form. My recollection is it's got something to do with tax reporting or NCAA, but I don't know off the top of my head. I'd have to do a little research.
It's a somewhat of an arbitrary number. At some point, the program needs to benefit from the shooting of federal contracts and the coaching
benefit from that as well. So you settle down and get what they
I just was such a curious number. We're just talking. I'm almost certain it's got something to do with taxes.
In the banking world, if it's $10,000, it triggers a SARS report, suspicious activity.
And in the athletics world, we try to avoid SARS reports.
Chairman,
for approval of 2 contracts,
that's 2 and 3,
and 3 motion
is
second to that?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Chairman. We're exactly at halftime, Bill, here in the more than our midpoint enrollment cycle for the summer. Overall enrollment continues to be consistent, which we expect. But each week during the summer between APPs, when they fall, enrollment can be up or down, plus 2%. But for our first-time students, they are first-time freshmen, I should say, they're riding high, and they might sink such activity like that in this late June or July. First-time freshmen are always compared to the time last year. We're up, as of earlier this week, we're over 87. That's actually a low number because there's more than put in there in the past few days. Transfer international enrollments continue to be strong. Transfers, again, joint admission byproduct are up 18% from where they were last year. International enrollments, that dynamic, you know, will continue to bear out over July and August. Many of those will not, you know, make move on activity, although admits and I-20s are up in those areas as reported from ISO. Countries represented still remain strong: Saudi Arabia, China, Brazil, Vietnam, and Nigeria. And also, we've seen some little bump here with efforts from the post-traditional, non-traditional students. Brad Kissel there, our adult learning specialist. Maybe you've seen some commercials and open houses Brad's been having. He has aggressively geared up the activity there and continues all the way until school starts. Coming up here to learn more about that, and as well as the domestic recruitment efforts and the international recruitment efforts at the July retreat. Point out tidbits for you at this point, and we're just going to dip into it. I said mentioned that transfers were up. KCCCS up at 18%. Out of state, of course, transfers. Out of state transfers about 10%. Our international students are up 11%. Out of state overall is up almost 1.5%. So, again, this is just a test of where we are here in Lakeview. There's still six ATPs remaining. So we have half the way to go between now and August. And a lot of yielding activities going in that had not happened in the past. When I mean yielding activity, those individuals kind of ATP or orientation administration, if you will, in the past with you have a yielding melt about 1.7%, meaning they go in, register, for whatever reason, they were shopping around, withdraw or drop their schedule. So that's down to almost 1%, 1.3%. So the yielding activities are kicking in. That's a variety of things, calling students, emailing to kickoff events, those sorts of things. And Jason has been doing a phenomenal job. Very aggressive in yielding, something we had not historically done well with. We've made that a priority. But, stay with us. We'll have a very detailed, good 90 minutes or so with you, my Lord, retreat. We're going to talk about a lot of things in depth that we believe the Lord needs to know as well. And, also, at that time, I mean, I can submit to the President, and I'll be able to come out of those presentations. Back to Regent Burke's question of, you know, there's, what are we doing with this local service? I think that's important. We would address this as well. So that's where we are right now, just a little thumbnail sketch of enrollment. It really and truly is, it's roller coaster ride this time of year, and really that's going to depend upon when APPs fall. We have six more to go. It's traditional.
Question?
Challenge continue that you feel like we're turning a corner in the first time full time freshman residential, domestic, and international. The two challenges will continue to be retention, and we're facing a challenge in graduate enrollment. And what I don't want to have happen is to fix the undergraduate problem and then turn around and have it offset by a reduction in graduate students. So we do have a graduate committee at my group. It's met once, meets again, 2 weeks, I think, to address Jeff Katz is chairing a subgroup of that to look at international and other ways we can streamline and make more efficient the admission of graduate students and move from a graduate repository of students who want to apply to a aggressive recruitment of graduate students dynamic. And that's different than how we've approached graduate studies in the past. And I understand the graduate system, and the value of the international dynamic in graduate students is most of them don't come in expecting a graduate assistantship by and large in the international context. So that's an opportunity. So we're studying every dynamic of this whole enrollment profile, and kind of like fundraising, it's part art and part science. And we're trying to get the science down, and sometimes it just comes down to hard work and recruitment and relationships, particularly at the graduate level. So it's a complex set of dynamics that we're really getting into at our board retreat.
Question?
Yeah, I appreciate your comments. I think just an observation, again, maybe something to note on. In this year's budget, we made a decision to sort of begin to tie non-residential graduate tuition with international to bring them together. And I would just hope we track that really closely, because the part of the status of a graduate program is being able to attract other students from out of state. You don't want to be colloquial and only people who get in state. And it's a pretty hefty increase that we give to non-residential. And without assistantships, I'm a little concerned we're going to get Sinai graduate programs to more and more people who are in state. And it's very tough to be competitive. So I would just hope we track that and maybe in a way find out, is that really what we want to do unless we can shore up those graduate systems?
That's not a
It's a lot of information, but any orientation session is. It's not a lot of information. We haven't done the job correctly. That's studying able to be across the country. It's time to begin those conversations. Jason and Tim are doing quite well.
The chair wants to yield to Freddie, who's been trying to ask a question.
I've been asking a question. I think everybody was thinking I was calling for questions. I apologize to Mr. Porter for that. Going to the art side, what's your best guess?
Best guess for total enrollment? Well, let's see, us pass last year on total enrollment. It's in the neighborhood of 20,450 people, if I remember that correctly. And I want to see us pass that number. We have a lot of energy and time and money and resources to put into that. We're already getting on the magic word. We're ready to lay out the exact number, but I've got to be like, specifically for the first time freshmen and the new transfers and graduate students, another dynamic, but a lot of energy is going in. It's a booster on the old playbook out. Really have to learn about the new playbook. A lot of what we're doing. It is an extremely expensive
one. Did you ask
us questions? 20,454 plus one or two. How about that? I'm going to be conservative. It needs to be better than that. I don't want to create an expectation.
With our budget this year, there are two things that we've got to fix next year. Enrollment stability and scholarship allocation. We've got to put in a budget for scholarship allocation that cost us 3.5. Great news that we had nearly 30% increase in students accepting our scholarships. Academic quality is way up from a student's quality standpoint. I want to wring my hands too much about more great students here, what we're having to pay for. Just understand, we'll get into this at our board retreat. We will likely be offering fewer scholarships next year. And there are going to be some students who may take scholarship offers elsewhere. But we've got to make up for that with students between the 2.5 and 3.5. I hate to be mercenary about it, but enrollment and financial stability are completely married. And we're going to, instead of having open-ended, if you meet this GPA, ACT score, you get this scholarship, come one, come all, anybody who accepts it gets it, which is what we had going into this year, and the number was way up. We got to pay for that, which is why we're having to reduce our spending in a lot of areas. We're going to put a set number on scholarship categories, and Cindy Burnett's chairing this effort. I'm going to get out in front of the right now. And so when that limit reaches, you got to live within our means. And you got to remember that all the students that that increased number coming in this year, sophomores, juniors, you know, it cycles through. So in order to pay for the increased number this year, it's going to pay for them next year because we want to retain them. Those are the students that are retained at a very high level. So you said art, but it is the art and sciences.
I'm trying to give you a break with the numbers.
So
more than art, I think going to pay off the enjoying piece that I'm extremely confident in writing is the comments and videos and social media we've done over there. The litany of them, one, Brad talking, you know, so he's come out and talking to parents and students and do ATP. We haven't done that this time in the past. It's very specific messaging in that. This one drive it on. That's one of many.
I'm going to point out enrollment is a combination of recruitment, retention, and graduation. In many ways, we're currently a victim of our own success. As you were there at commencement December, we filled that room and had to spill students over into the stands to accommodate the number of graduates. We're graduating students faster and faster. We've responded to the challenge to graduate students in 4 years. Now, that learning is great for the students. It's great for the university. We're putting students out into the workforce. But it does have an impact on enrollment at the other end. We have fewer fifth and sixth year seniors. It's just a reality. I just want to make folks aware of that dynamic factor in the total enrollment.
Thank you. Well, that's extremely important for us to bring this class in. They're a higher qualified class, so we had them there rolling with hours and credit, yes, you name it, and they're only sophomore classification, so everything was said, you're a good graduating class.
Thank you, Don. Our strategy is not to have students stick around for 17 years to get the credit in order to keep the money from us.
We'll take a brief break of about 10 minutes before we reconvene.